It's a privilege to get to lead the team here in this growing church. Put your hands up if you witnessed those baptisms. Okay, keep your hands up if you felt moved by what you heard and saw. Wasn't it tremendous? Just amazing to see a whole spectrum of ages and people who have encountered God in different ways. And I'm glad that we worship a living God, a God who is changing people's lives, who is engaging with people where they're at. And it's just a total joy to me. And that was totally wonderful. Really superb. I want to just welcome you if you're a guest, if you are somebody who is just looking in today. Maybe someone's brought you and you're not quite sure why. Perhaps you've been coming for a few months and you're just trying to suss us out. That's all good. But I just want you to feel warmly welcomed. I hope that you have been. I hope that's been your experience. We're going to be giving later. You're probably thinking, oh, I didn't expect to walk into this. A gift day? Surely not. Yes, it is a gift day. And we have a practice whereby we like to give our money away as an act of worship into three different areas every year. We chop our diary into three terms, so we kind of operate on an academic term. So in the spring, as we call it, which is kind of February, March, April time, we like to give our money into church planting projects. As a team of leaders, we know that God has called us to help to church plant. That means to put churches in places where there aren't churches, or churches in places where there's a grip of secular Western Europe at play. And so you'll know if you've been around here for any length of time that we've planted a church in Amsterdam and in Berlin and in Ottawa, Canada. Also, next year we're planning to, with God's grace, to plant a new church plant in Krakow, Poland. And we've got a family that have been part of us in CCK for a number of years now, and they're saying, please send us, equip us, train us, help us to put our feet on the ground in that incredible city. They're Polish, by the way, and they're going to be natively planting a church that's full of the gospel, full of the good news of Jesus. So that's the kind of church we are. We like to church plant. And so we invite you to get adventurous with us and get a bit radical. And so that's what we do in the spring. In the autumn, we like to give our money away into serving the poor. And we do that in a whole range of ways. But again, this is a mandate. This is not just something we thought that would be nice. No, it's something that God, something that the Bible asks us to be conscious of. And so we remember the poor in what we do with our finances. And we give away into all sorts of people and projects and places in order to fulfill that mandate on us. If you didn't catch it, I hope you did, but we announced some new members as well. Why don't you just flip those up, if that's okay, Colin? And so Colin and Claire Brown, who were baptised, they come to the 9 o'clock normally. They've come into membership today, and that was brilliant. If you heard their stories, just so thrilled to have them around us, a fantastic family, and we look forward to kind of getting to know them. Do encourage them if you see them. And Den, Roy, and Jack, these guys, you'll notice, they don't have the same surname. Interesting. But they will have in August, because they're getting married in August. Let's give them a round of applause. Yeah. So it was great to have Den, Roy be baptised this morning in front of this church family. Really, really superb. Did you know that we've just gone through our 1,000th member of Church of Christ the King? That's incredible. That's a really big deal. If you've been in church for ages, you'll know that we've kind of gone close and then dropped away and close, and well, we have. And we gave that person a brand new car. We didn't do that. That would be a ridiculous thing to do. But I like the idea of that. Maybe an iPad, I don't know. But we didn't do that. But what I'm going to do this morning is speak from the book of Exodus, the Bible book of Exodus. If you've got a physical Bible like this, you might want to put your finger in it. Chapter 35 to start with, 36. And maybe you've got a smartphone and that's how you read your Bible. That's fine. Get swiping. Find where we're going to read from. But before we get there, I want to be super transparent with you about what we did with last year's gift day money. Think that'd be a good idea? I think it'd be a great idea. Let's just flip up the slide that shows what we gave into. There are a bunch of things that I asked us to consider giving into. First thing, Shoreham Centre refurb. This is the Shoreham Centre. We blessed this building by doing up rooms 1 and 2 and a few other bits and pieces. We want to be a blessing wherever we are. What do I mean by that? Well, we want people to look at us and say, they are a good sort, that church. And let me tell you that our reputation amongst many, particularly the staff and the trustees in this building, they really appreciate the way that we not just hire and use this building, but the way we serve this building as well. So well done. I asked us to give into interns as well. I asked us to fund Jess Debenham. Put your hand up if you love Jess. We all love Jess Debenham. I'm putting 2 hands up. She's great. Jess is amazing, and she's an intern. She's giving a year of her life into serving the church. She serves us here. She serves the kind of central scene as well with worship and kids' work. It's just superb. Really love Jess. And we want 3 Jesses next year. I'll come to that in a moment. But we paid for her. We paid for her year. We've helped her with the course costs. We've helped her with travel. And I know that she's been blessed by loads of you and who have fed her and passed her small bundles of cash from time to time. That's what she told me anyway. So that's all good news. We also raised money for Baby Basics. That is a social engagement project where mums who give birth in this area find themselves short of consumables and the kind of things that a young mum needs to care carefully for her newborn. And so we've been putting together a project that's still in an embryonic stage, but making progress, whereby we provide Moses baskets and we bless young mums with these baskets for completely free as a gift from this church. And so Baby Basics, is you're going to hear more about that as we go into this year and next. Building funds. A year ago, we started talking about beginning to have a pot where we would put finance into so that one day we could think about having a physical impact in this town. That means having our own building that we can use for blessing this community, but also using it ourselves as well. I'll say more about that in a few moments. Production, there are always production needs. Just the teams that set all of this kit up, that amplify it, that film it, that the guys fiddle about with cables and buttons on the desk, just superb, completely over my head and probably yours, but brilliant, brilliant work. We want to make sure that we're excellent and we have a high level of excellence. West of All is our 3-day camping event that we have every year. It's in its 5th year, and we have bought some assets with it, things like gazebos and barbecues and other bits and pieces that serve that event going forward. You might be wondering, what's St. Barnabas? What is that? Well, let me tell you that St. Barnabas Hospice out further west are a phenomenal team of people who care for those that are dying. And it was my privilege to be visiting one of our dear friends who's now gone to be with Jesus. That's dear Bill Cannell. And he was being cared for there by the team. And I took £2,000 of the money that was given last time, and we donated it to Barnabas House Hospice. That's great, isn't it? So you guys did that. That came out of your pockets. And they were bowled over. They were absolutely bowled over. And but we want to show support for teams that are caring for people in their last moments. And we want to be able to say, we love what you do. You do a great service to our community. So that was a real privilege. Hello, Mandy. Well done. Well done. That's you. New Day, you know that. You know about that. That's our youth event. 7,000 kids going crazy, but learning about the gospel at the same time. And CCK Kids, that's the work that we do here in this church, serving the children of this church. Your children, my children, the children that we love and that we want to be seeded really well with the gospel. You might be thinking, come on then, where's the money? Flip up the next slide. So that pie chart shows you how we allocated the funds And you can, if you want to get a copy of that, or you want to have a chat with me about that, please do. The sharp mathematicians amongst you will note that we raised £28,678 this time last year. That's a huge amount of money. And my plea to you is that let's not give up being generous. Look at its effect. Look at the fruit of it. Look at the way we can use it. Look at the way we find ourselves with a phenomenal opportunity to be a blessing in the place that God has put us on. Okay, look, I'm going to start reading from Exodus 35, which incidentally won't come up on the screen because it's a fairly long passage. But I'm going to read from Exodus 35, verse 4. That's where we're going to start. And as we do that, I will eventually lead to a point that will come up on the screen. So let me just crack on and we'll go from there. Here we go. Moses said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, I'll bring some context to this in a moment. This is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, and bronze, blue and purple, and scarlet yarns, and fine twined linen, goat's hair, tanned ram's skins, and goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones, and stones for setting, for the ephod, and for the breastpiece. Let every skillful craftsman among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded, the tabernacle, its tent and covering, its hooks, its frames, its bars, its pillars, its bases, the ark with its poles, the mercy seat, the veil of the screen, the table with its poles and all its utensils, and the bread of the presence. The lampstand also for the light, with its utensils, its lamps, and the oil for the light, and the altar of the incense with its poles, and the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense, and the screen for the door at the door of the tabernacle. The altar of the burnt offering, with its grating of bronze, its poles, and all its utensils, the basin and its stand, the hangings of the court, its pillars, its bases, the screen for the gate of the court, the pegs of the tabernacle, and the pegs of the court, and their cords, the finely worked garments for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons for their service as priests. Complicated stuff. Let me just bring some context to this. Moses, okay, he is the guy that God had chosen to lead his people, the Israelites, out of slavery into Egypt and the Promised Land. And I did quite a lot of research, and this is a genuine photograph of Moses behind me. But what I can say, you know, when I look at it, I think, that's not Moses, that's Charlton Heston. So, which apparently it is. Anyway, that is Moses. And do you know, this vigorous Hebrew race had been in Egypt some 430 years, starting with Jacob and a group of only 70. And now they were numbered close to 2.4 million. That is what you call a lot of people to lead. And this is the second half of Moses' life. Remember, he was the little baby that was floating in the basket in the river, wasn't he? And he got plucked to safety. And they picked the baby out and they said, let's call him Moses because he's in a Moses basket. No, they didn't do that. But we call Moses baskets now, don't we? Because that's you know what I'm saying. He was, as he grew up, he knew he wasn't an Egyptian. He knew there was something different about him, that he was a Hebrew. And he got found out. I won't go into another sermon. Eventually, he finds himself leading the people of Israel out of slavery through the sea and towards the Promised Land. And then this 2.4 million group of people find themselves wandering aimlessly and grumpily through the wilderness for a considerable time. And it was here that Moses would receive guidance from God. He would go away on his own and God would give him insight. And on one occasion, God gave him the Ten Commandments. And so Moses went back with those. And on one occasion when Moses was away for a length of time, the people rebelled and they pulled all of their gold and they made a golden calf and began to worship that. So they were a naughty bunch. And it was also the place where God began unfolding his plans to have a dwelling place amongst them. He's always wanted relationship with the people that he created. Did you know that's true for you? God has always wanted relationship with you. That's as true now as it was then. And all of human history has been this unfolding of God's plan to be with us. We sang it earlier, didn't we? Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God with us. God dwelling with mankind. This is a really big deal for us personally as a church as we head towards a name change in the autumn and into 2018. Emmanuel, that's what we're going to be. We're going to be called Emmanuel going forward. 2018, January the 1st. This is a huge theme in the story of the Bible and one that is still on a trajectory of fulfillment. And in this particular juncture in human history, God had given Moses some very specific instruction about what he wanted his dwelling place at that moment in time to be like and to look like. So we're talking about the tabernacle now, the tent, as it would have looked like to us, where the presence of God could be amongst man himself. It was versatile, it was mobile, it was God's intricate design to be close to his people. And what's happening in this passage is the very building of this dwelling place by the people of God, and they were giving their possessions and the things that they valued to see this project through, and they were giving with passion. They were kind of giving just, I'm on it, you know, you just say the word and I'm doing this. But most importantly, we see that the work of the Holy Spirit is in these people. And this is what I want to draw out for us this morning. So I'm just going to read a little bit more, okay? So this is now Exodus 36, verses 3 to 7, and you'll see it on the screen in a second. But before I read it, just note this, that the Spirit of God inspired the people and the craftsmen, both the givers and the doers. And they received from Moses all the contribution that the people of Israel had brought for doing the work on the sanctuary. They still kept bringing him free will offerings every morning, so that all the craftsmen who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary, they came each from the task that he was doing and said to Moses, "The people bring much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do." So Moses gave command, and word was proclaimed throughout the camp, "Let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution for the sanctuary." So the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. Wow. Let me pray. Lord, I want to thank you, God, for this reality, Lord, that you are with us, Lord. And I just want to ask, God, that just as you are with us right this second now by your Spirit, I pray that you would help us to land to earth in our own hearts and minds this morning all that it is that you are calling us into. Lord, we love the fact that you are passionate about dwelling with your people, God, and we want to respond well to that. We want to respond well in our hearts. So I pray for my friends here, those that I don't know, God, those that are embryonically on their journey of faith, those that have walked with you for decades. God, I pray that we would be a people that are inspired by the Spirit of God as we unpack further this morning. Amen. Isn't it an amazing passage to visualize? Whenever I read scripture, you might do this as well, but I like to kind of put myself in the story and just kind of like shut my eyes and think about the sights and the smells and the people, and I'm weird like that. But do you do that? Who does that? It can't just be me. No, it can't be me. Brilliant. Yes, one more here. Anyway, I recommend you try that. It brings it alive. And my my daughter has an action Bible, which is kind of all done in sort of cartoon form, and I think I like it more than she does. But we read it together, and it's alive, and it's kind of rough and ready. And let me encourage you to do that. Can you imagine being there at that moment where Moses had put out this command on social media to bring, no, he didn't, this command to begin to give free will offerings to the building of the tabernacle? We're building something in Shoreham as well. But they were building this intricate thing that God had designed for them. There's something very magnetic, isn't there, about a communal response to a vision that gets laid out. And that's true here. I think it's funny that the craftsmen got the hump about the volume of gold and twine and this, and were like, Moses, tell them to stop. It's too much. And I guess Moses must have felt pretty awkward giving that command. Imagine if you turned up next Sunday and in the notices I said, we all want you to stop your standing orders. We want you, no giving in the buckets. And here comes the wind. No giving. We've got more than enough. We're doing great, thank you. Imagine that. We could put bouncers, couldn't we, on each of the tables to make sure you weren't giving. Wouldn't that be crazy? That's not going to happen, by the way. Notice that the response, this generous response from the people, it wasn't as a result of some stirring sermon that Moses gave on handling money. Neither did a site leader prompt them with constant reminders on gift day videos or social media. Neither did a not-for-profit company email you every day saying, gift day is coming, please give, give, give. No, none of that was going on here. The construction of the tabernacle, it wasn't an obligation. It wasn't an obligation. Neither was it a required task or a guilt trip. It was the very product of human desire. It was unadulterated inspiration. You know, the very makeup of the word inspiration means to breathe or to put life or spirit into the human body, to impart reason into a human soul. I love that. That's what's gone on here. It's the phenomenal outpouring of generosity that has been spiritually inspired. Here's a question. What is it that moves the human spirit to give in this way? Do Christian believers have a monopoly on this kind of inspiration? The answer's no. But it's also yes, and I want to unpack that in just a second. There are distinctions to be made. We say no, of course not, because we see, don't we, examples all around us of passionate giving in our culture. All human beings reflect the image of God. Whether you acknowledge that or not, every human being reflects something of the character and the makeup of God, and one of those things includes compassion. Just in the last week or so, haven't we? We've witnessed the tragic event of the Grenfell Tower fire disaster in West London. That's been shocking. It's been hard to understand. It's been hard to watch. And our prayers are for those that have been affected. In fact, can I pray right now? Is that okay? I'm going to pray right now. Will you pray with me? God, we want to ask, Lord, that we acknowledge that this disaster in London, God, has been confusing and terrible for so many, Lord. And we want to ask, God, that you would come very close to those that have been affected. Lord, we pray as a church, Lord, that you would be the God of all comfort to those who are grieving, to those that have lost everything. Lord, we pray that somehow you would be working your tremendous, compassionate gospel in the hearts of those that are directly involved. We thank you for the response that we witnessed. Lord, we pray for grace for those involved in caring and providing. And we say, God, would you please be the God of all comfort in this situation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for that. Do you know that
the human response that we've seen there, the instinct to help to relieve human suffering, it's been overwhelming, isn't it? The responses have ranged from anger to disbelief, criticism of authorities, calls for justice, pressure groups, crowdfunding schemes, but also a passionate, humanitarian, gut-wrenching desire to meet the desires of the crisis need. And as created beings, whether we acknowledge the Creator or not, we're hardwired to feel passionate about life, aren't we? With all of its joys, all of its sorrows. So people do give in to things that they're passionate about. Here's a couple of pictures. So this picture here is just a photograph of one of the collection depots where people have turned up with boxes of clothes and other things that may have been lost in the fire. The next photograph really struck me, just hundreds of shoes, pairs of shoes where people have thought, I can give shoes, I don't need these shoes, I can give these shoes. Something's happened in people's hearts. One volunteer who was helping to manage the deluge of supplies said, we're so impressed and grateful. The community has come out in droves, but people wanting to give essential goods are urged to take directions on what is needed and where, as other collection points are also full to bursting. Hardwired passion has come to their hearts, and they've been stirred to act, to give, to contribute, to play their part. But we can also say yes to that original question, because with the believer, so many of us in this room, with the one that who trusts God for their lives, something else is going on. The motivation to give or be generous with our money is in another realm entirely. Remember the words that we read earlier? And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting, for all of its service and for the holy garments. You see, the Israelites, they were God's people. They knew their God. And they'd known his mercy to them through thick and thin. So their motivations were Godward. Their objective wasn't so much humanitarian, good as that is in and of itself, but it was that God was honoured for who he was, because he's praiseworthy for what he's done in their context and in ours, and much more fully in ours through Jesus Christ. Here's the distinction. When someone becomes a Christian, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, begins working in a person's life because, my first point, a Christian is indwelt by the Spirit. When Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, trying to straighten them out, he said, don't you know that you're a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? The effect of the indwelling Spirit includes things like assurance that you're God's child, energy to live out your trust in God, desire to share the good news of God's love, although we often stumble here, don't we? But the desire's there. And thankfulness in your heart. Thankfulness for what God has done for you. And being filled with the Holy Spirit must be a continual process if we're to live the Christian life to its fullest. And when it comes to giving, the Bible, and in fact Jesus himself, said an immense amount on this subject. And that's one of the reasons why, as a church, we don't hold back in speaking regularly about money. Do you know, as a pastor, I want you to experience the richness of the life-changing gospel in every part of your life. And that includes giving. And part of my calling, I know, is to lead you into a healthy theology, a healthy understanding, and a healthy practice of how you view and handle your money, whether you've got loads or hardly any. Not one believer is exempt from working this out in their lives. Did you know that? He says with a huge smile. And those like me who are supported by the giving of the church need to lead by example. It's big. So we're indwelt by the Spirit, and when as believers we commit ourselves to give, what is God up to in our lives? Well, one of the reasons that he indwells us is to change us. He's changing us to be more like him. That's his promise. He's getting more glory through us. Those are two things that we all want, right? If you're a believer here this morning, you want to be more like him and you want to see him more famous. Is that true? Is it true sometimes? It's true, isn't it? So secondly, he changes us by the Spirit. And when we give, we're obeying God and doing what is really uncomfortable. But it helps us to grow and be who God has called us to be. God can do so much more through a wise, giving, mature person than a person who is overly concerned with possessions and finance and belongings, all of which are going to disappear or be destroyed at some point. If we place too much value on them, we will be devastated when they're gone. God wants our treasure and our worth to be with those things that can never be destroyed, doesn't he? Or taken from us, namely himself and the people that he's put in our lives. So how does the Spirit change us? He changes us by making us more generous. Giving is just not part of our sinful nature. We're born looking out for our own desires and comfort. Anyone who's got a kid, you know that to be true. We're born like that. As we grow up and learn values, and especially as we get to know God and trust our lives to him, he changes us to be others-minded and to trust him to meet our needs. Has that been your experience? The fact that selfish, sinful human hearts can be changed to put others first can only be attributed to God, the Spirit of God who indwells us. Thirdly, the Spirit assures us of our standing before God. That changes everything, including how you view and handle your finances. How? Well, he actually causes the believer to feel like a child of God. You feel that in worship this morning? Feel that right now? He incites us to run to him in prayer. He also causes those who are trusting in his son Jesus to very naturally look to him as Father, as God their Father. We're keen on that here. So the Spirit enables the believer to feel like a son rather than a servant. I love that. A son is a non-gender specific term for someone who has been regenerated by the Spirit of God. A Christian, someone who's become a Christian. You don't feel like a hired hand any longer. You don't feel like you're trying to keep the rules. Just like Claire Brown's brilliant testimony about how she suddenly had it switched on for her that she was a daughter of the King. This is not a rule-keeping exercise, but this is what the Spirit does. It assures us of our standing before God. So the big distinctions are that the Spirit of God indwells, changes, and assures us. And this makes the matter of giving a whole new realm for us because it's underpinned by trust and grace. And it's wonderful. You know that it's grace for you this morning? My prayer for you this morning is that you feel no compulsion whatsoever to be in this adventure of giving. I want it to be an act of the Spirit of God in your heart as we come to give a little bit later. So we've looked at the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's heart, how our response as those who are following Jesus is a trust response. Not out of compulsion, not out of pride, not out of self-righteousness, not out of misplaced sense of guilt. It's cheerfulness and joy that characterizes the giver who is full of faith
in God. Superb. I'm going to change tack a little bit here and get quite earthy and practical with you. If you look at the little gift aid card that would have been on your seat, maybe it's in front of you, you'll see that we are gunning for 4 excellent things this summer gift day. We want to be able to give into these 4 key areas. And I'm just going to unpack those just in the next few minutes. We're not going to be long now, then we're going to come and respond. Let me tell you that the food bank has been going for a number of years now. And sometimes it's good to just to tell you what's been going on. And in the last 12 months, 557 3-day food parcels were given to clients. Isn't that tremendous in the sense that it's meeting a need, but appalling that it should ever be needed? 309 of those were given to single people. 86 of those were given to families. The food bank has helped a total of 1,110 people in the last 12 months. The top reasons for people being referred to the Shoreham Food Bank are changes in benefits or delays to benefits, or low income, people who literally find that there is too much month at the end of the money. Debt. People carry debt. Another surprising one is people who find themselves suddenly without a wage and asking themselves a question, do we pay the mortgage or do we feed the family? This is tough. The reality is that the food bank in its current form is serving people in this area. And I'm very proud, hopefully a right way, of the way that Sarah Meeser and her team of volunteers and the collaboration that we have with other churches in the town are helping to meet this crisis need. We want to support the food bank. There are costs to be met. No one gets paid for running it, but there are expenses for storage and for transportation. And we want to make sure that the food bank isn't in need itself, if you understand. Secondly, interns. It's been absolutely great having interns serve this site and all of our sites over the last few years. And we've loved Jess Debenham, being an intern for us. And what do they do? Well, they get involved in worship leading and songwriting. They get trained in video editing and communications and social media, sound, lighting, technology production, event management, business administration, theology, teaching and preaching. It's a whole year of intense activity for these interns. And I would love us to have 3 interns serving us after New Day and into 2018. Wouldn't that be superb? Costs around £1,400 for one intern to get on this internship course. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, I'd like to do that. Well, come and talk to me. Check out this website on the screen here. There is no age restriction. It's not for young people exclusively. It's for those that find themselves with a year to give the church. And we'd love to chat to you about that. Thirdly, New Day. Again, I'm not going to go into tons of detail here. Suffice to say that the young people in this church are precious to us. We want to make sure that none of them miss out on New Day because of cost. That would be a disaster. And so I've said to us as a church, let's pay for them all. Let's pay for the team and bless them as they go. We really value this growing group of young people. And so let me encourage you, if that's what stirs you to give, then give because of that reason. Fourthly and finally, I want to invite us to give into our building fund. Now, there's a fun screen coming up on the screen behind me here, and I'm so thrilled that we're a church that loves where we live. We're multi-site for a reason. We don't just meet in one mega location and enjoy Sundays as a church. No, we're committed to impact, local impact, and part of our strategy for having local impact is blessing our communities, the areas where we live, not just with an opportunity to come and hear the gospel and enjoy a church setting, but we are increasingly wanting to operate buildings that very obviously serve the communities in which they find themselves. Our charity, Friends First, are helping me and our other sites to push ahead
with a strategy whereby we are having an opportunity to invite people to be part of this adventure. We're inviting those that are coming out of long-term unemployment or addictive lifestyles to step into a pathway to getting on the right road again. We are wanting to bring people like that into opportunities that they would never get anywhere else. Already the local agencies and councils are looking at this model that we're talking to them about, and their jaws are on the floor. We're just trying to work out how we get this thing off the ground. And we've got potential investors in the background. We've been having very healthy discussions with the council about where we might do this, where we might build such a building that serves the range of community activity, where people can come and play, come and do their business, come and be part of something that is of a holistic benefit to the area in which we live. So we've got a team that's been developed. Tim Erie, who's part of this site, has pulled together a brilliant team of people who are gifted in different areas of project management and strategy. And so this picture here has been drawn up by some of the artists, and you can see that the larger picture in the middle there is of someone standing on the building on the other side of the road looking at this building. And that is one potential site, may I tell you, that's currently got the library, the health centre and the derelict building. It's been a mess for decades. And wouldn't it be great if God gave that to us? Wouldn't that be amazing? And there are other sites that we are talking to the council about. So it might not be there, but we're praying that it's somewhere else. And we're praying that God hurries up. But forgive my impatience. But I want to see God more famous in this town, in this region. I want to see people loving a building in this area that is operated by the church, and that there is a link drawn. Not that it's the first link that we draw. We don't want to be the first link there. The first link we want them to know is that we love them, that we love people. We want to see people loved into wholeness. And it would be a happy surprise when people realise that the church is behind it. Emmanuel Shoreham is behind it. I'm excited about it. Can I invite the band to come up? We're going to respond together in worship. The parallel between us here today and the Israelites who gave wholeheartedly to the building of the tabernacle is that God is inviting us, that's you and me, and the 9 a.m. and others, to build something where he can dwell. To build something of equal beauty and power. The distinction is that he's put his spirit within us to enable us to achieve this by his grace. Let's just hear what I said there. This is going to be achieved by the grace of God, okay? And what I mean by that is that not one person in this room should be under any compulsion to give whatsoever. That's important for you to hear. But here's the reality. The reality is that many of us will give, and we will give because of the grace of God. We will give because we want to see something fantastic supported and set up in this region. We're going to take communion. I'm going to ask Rich just to administrate that for us. But in about 5 minutes or so, once we've taken communion, our children are going to join us, and I want to invite you to give this morning. Maybe giving for you is just something you haven't thought about for this week. That's okay. There are different ways we can handle that. You can give online. You can write an IOU. You could just give next week, because there'll be an opportunity to give next week. But if you're ready and you know you're ready to give, praise God for you. Thank you for praying. Thank you for being stirred about what we are doing. But we're going to take communion, and I'm going to invite Rich to come and administrate that. We're going to worship God together and enjoy giving as a family in a moment or two. Amen.